This is Mona Lisa Baseball.
Oh, man, where to begin?
Yankees, Dodgers. They did it.
They did it.
They did it.
Yeah, so what comes to mind when you say they did it?
Big market.
Simple as that.
It's baseball. Anyone could have ended up there, but this is what they wanted. They wanted. They want Yankees, Dodgers every year.
Yeah, it did it excite you as a hardball fan?
No, I hate both of those teams. But I mean, like, was I going to watch, like, Mets, Guardians? I was going to watch that either. Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
I might have watched Padres, Orioles.
Okay, but it sounds like you're not carving out plans for watching this one.
I mean,
because I think I might.
If I find myself at a bar in the next couple of days, the game's on, I'm going to be paying attention to it. Yeah.
My TV setup is with the equivalent of, say, rabbit ears. So I'm considering trying to get it on Fox. And yeah, there's been this range of emotions where, you know, getting my morning sports talk in and hearing how little they're interested, but kind of throwing sprinkles at it while 90% is football talk. They'll sprinkle in stuff about how they're excited the playoffs is going, but they won't actually break down and talk about it.
Yeah.
So as it gets closer to the World Series, they'll just casually sprinkle more and talk about how they're more excited. But then something actually seemed to happen once it was confirmed Yankees-Dodgers. Then this sort of the confetti came pouring down.
Sports talk guys are allowed to talk about baseball.
Pretend it's the beginning of the show. They got the walk-in music and the show starts. It's like, boom, what's up? Here for another episode of da-da-da sports show brought to you by DraftKings. Man, how excited are you about the World Series? I know, it's crazy. All right, we're going to talk football first.
Yeah.
But let me tell you about my drive to work this morning. Baseball definitely on the mind. Started up the truck about 7:30, started heading down the hill, and I can hear the interview and I kind of recognize the voice and I go, oh, is that Tom Verducci? Was my first thought. And I'm driving down the hill a little further and he's talking about baseball and he keeps saying we, and I'm going, I guess maybe as a Hall of Fame voter, it seems kind of like an odd sports journalist to be talking about baseball as we. And then Dan Patrick says, talking to the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and I go, oh my God, I cannot believe my drive to work, I get to listen to Rob Manfred.
So exciting.
So good how this worked out. Okay, so he uses the words completely inconsequential, and I don't know what's happened previously in the interview, but what he's telling Dan is, remember when we did that tiny little thing where, you know, you had to actually pitch the four pitches for the intentional walk and we made it automatic. So he starts going into that. He goes, you would not believe the things that people were calling me. I can't repeat them on this show just because I changed that little thing. Uh-huh. Shows you how cuckoo people are for baseball because it's something that's completely inconsequential. Okay. I had to brush up later and watch the interview because I know that Dan posts his interviews, and Rob does this funny thing where towards the end, he was almost wooing me, where I go, this guy's kind of, I think he would be kind of likable. And I had to snap myself out of it, where I go, no, he's doing lawyer tricks. He's doing lawyer tricks.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I brought up the two words completely inconsequential and why it was so important to me was it defined everything I thought about him. If anyone is interested in this show and the things that we talk about, you're probably into it on a level where you appreciate the nuances of the sport. And that's not going to be for everyone, but it is for people like you and me. It showed me right there, if Rob says that that is completely inconsequential, well, first of all, he couldn't be more wrong. What is the best part about baseball? It's like, well, it kind of depends on what time of year you're in. April, you go, oh, you know, it's spring. You get out to a ball game, doesn't mean much. Eat some good food, have some fun, have some laughs, get out to a ball game, right?
Sure.
October, you're watching baseball. It all means something. There's not a game in October that doesn't mean something. So the drama has built over months to get you to this point in October.
I'm with you.
Drama in baseball is one of my favorite things, but you can't force it in April. You're going to really only find it at its peak in October. Or November, depending on how long the playoffs take. But what fan who's been following the game for a long time, and especially whose team may have been in the playoffs, has the luxury of watching their team build a rally, get men on base. They might be a little behind. First two guys get on. It's second and third. Who's on deck? All these things are going on.
Right, and like the big hitter's coming up.
We got to intentionally walk this guy. You can't let the guy in on third. So that pitcher has to throw these four pitches to their catcher who's holding his arm out. Not the easiest thing in the world. Granted, it's a pro pitcher, but you start to get playoff and World Series.
Yeah.
This pitcher has to be really, really precise in a pitch that he doesn't really do all season. Well, what do you know? The crowd knows this. So if it's a home crowd, it starts getting louder and louder and louder, and it naturally is going to get into this pitcher's head. I've seen wild pitches come from intentional walks.
Right.
It's not going to be this thrilling moment that happens in April, but in October when you're actually playing to find out who the best teams are, it becomes a very important play. To just banish it completely and then give it those two words.
Completely inconsequential.
Was so insulting to the actual breadth of the game. I went through this really interesting, almost fucked up thing where as I found out it's going to be Dodgers Yankees, and mind you, I still haven't seen a pitch since sitting in a pizza shop in spring training. Couldn't handle the clock and had to bail. When I heard it was Dodgers Yankees, my initial reaction was, man, this is proving people right. And I started to drink the Kool-Aid. It began with me drinking the Kool-Aid of maybe I am wrong. Maybe my equations were wrong. And I had to sit with it for a while. And thank God for Rob. He talked me right back into where I needed to be. And I realized all these people that are patting themselves on the back, they're taking a sample size that's so fucking small. Think how old baseball is. It's not going to go on the same sample size as, oh, we changed something for 2 years. Lickety split. There's proof. Here's another thing.
Hit me.
Everybody wants to pat themselves on the back for the expanded playoffs. It's the best thing. I'll even hear people in the sports broadcasting industry say, this is proof that expanded playoffs is better. Automatic eye roll from me. But these sort of things are getting said. All the people that are saying this are forgetting the price that you pay for expanding the playoffs.
Right.
This might be the most anticipated World Series since the Cubs won the World Series. So that's whatever, 7, 8 years. I think they won it in 2016. What is the price you pay for expanded playoffs? You have a tournament system and these teams get in and they knock someone off in a 3-5 game series. Right. And then, oh, shit, we're the Dodgers. We won 106 last year. You're out.
Yeah.
You're out in two games. You're gone. You're gone. And so all of a sudden, Yankees, Dodgers, the best record in the American League and the National League are actually squaring off in the World Series. And everyone's really excited about that. And guess what they're giving credit to? The fucking rule changes. See how healthy baseball is? Everyone's excited. We got Shohei stealing 50 bases. Of course, you can't mention that they changed the rules to make it easier. Imagine if everyone pulled the fences into 280 and someone hit 75 home runs. They're like, wow, that's so amazing that someone hit 75 home runs. I can't believe it.
It's historic.
Historic. And so I really wanted to retrace those steps of crowning the rule changes and using the proof within 2 years because there happens to be the two best teams that everyone wanted outside of you.
Right.
But you got the Dodgers, you got the Yankees, you got the two teams everyone wanted. Let's just really, really hope or not hope that the clock doesn't screw with one of these games.
Yeah.
And when I say screw with, I mean affect the outcome where you don't get to see the players finish it on the field.
It's entirely possible.
I don't know which one I'm rooting for. But that's what makes me kind of want to tune in and say, okay, if I really want to have my finger on the pulse the very best that I could, this would be a good time to check in and see what I thought the state of the game would be, where all the cameras are, how much of the spectacle, these guys are stars. Because there's this trick out there in sports media where you'll take someone who's really knowledgeable about football and maybe another sport, he'll describe to you why baseball is stupid, because you can't just bring Shohei up to bat in the ninth inning automatically, and you can't let your stars perform. So this will be a litmus test for how many baseball fans in America we have out there right now, because even me, who hasn't seen a pitch since spring training, wants to tune in for this World Series, probably for different reasons than other people, but there's value in that. Last year, it was a little murky when everyone was saying baseball is up, it's so great again, and you were sitting there saying, I'm checking the numbers and maybe it's up in the 5% range, maybe, not so sure.
Yeah, I got the numbers for this year too.
Okay, I'd like to hear that right now.
Attendance was up 1%.
Okay, something happened.
It's mostly attributed to people going to more weekday games. And Rob will tell you that more people are going to weekday games because the games are shorter.
Right.
The games are 3 minutes shorter this year, too. We had the rule changes to make this happen, including the 2 second drop on the pitch clock when there's a guy on base.
Yep.
And a couple other rules about mound visits and stuff and pitching changes that just
trimming.
Got us those 3 minutes, man. We got 3 more minutes.
3 minutes. Do you know offhand the number of minute average?
Yeah, we're at 236 now.
236, and it was 239 last year.
Something like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think of that length for a game as a baseball fan?
I'm not opposed to a slightly faster game. I mean, the games this year were as long as the games in 87.
Yeah.
That seemed fine. I think that there was another path to getting games to be a little bit shorter. Like, I'm not sure if changing 100-year-old rules was the way to go. We've talked about that extensively.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know we've spent hours talking about these rule changes.
Don't recall that part of the show.
So you got Rob on the radio.
I wanted to tell you another thing that I got to hear from old Rob. He said that there was a checks and balance system to make sure he's doing a good job. And so he was asked, how is that accomplished? And he said, well, every year I sit down with the owners and we go through a lot of things. and that was it. So his version of how did I do this year comes from the owners only, who basically want an answer to the question, can I sell my team for more this year than last year?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then Rob did a good job.
All right. I'm really glad you mentioned team value, because I just got back from Japan.
Great.
And I saw something that you're going to want to hear about.
I couldn't wait for this segue.
I saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fashionable ladies wearing Yankees gear. I don't think most of them even know it's a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fashion brand. And now with Shohei, and by the way, Shohei is everywhere in Japan. Like, like you can't go anywhere in Tokyo and be out of sight of Shohei. He's looking at you. He's selling you tea over here. He's selling a watch over here. coffee. Everything, dude. Everything. Okay. And I saw quite a few LA hats, but I don't think the logos is cool. So,
right.
Sorry, Dodgers. I think that's $1 billion of evaluation right there. But I mean, it goes to show you why some of these teams are worth so much money. Because when they did all the deferred payment, when LA did all the deferred payment stuff, I'm like, how are they going to pay this back? You know, like if attendance is flat, you know, if TV viewership is maybe doing okay or is in trouble. I mean, it's hard to tell. People are moving to different platforms. MLB, Rob will tell you that viewership's up, and it probably is up a little bit this year. Looking at all the data, it's just hard to tell. By the way, there's huge viewership numbers like coming out of Asia now, and you can guess why. There's a lot of good players playing in the MLB.
Yeah.
So if viewership's up a little bit, you know, 5-10%, and it's up 31% in Asia, like that's probably accounting for all of it or most of it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how much money that is.
It's a lot. And again,
yeah,
hundreds and hundreds of people wearing Yankees stuff, like Yankee logo on a purse. That purse probably costs $10,000, dude.
Okay. Give me the breakdown on traditional hats or jerseys versus, you know, the Friday night road jersey, you know.
Well, I think even the Japanese have good taste here where they understand that the classic is always going to be the best.
Nice.
And so you don't see a lot of variations on the white and black for Yankees gear.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it's a popular fashion brand. I mean, white and black goes with anything.
Yep.
I really do feel bad for the Padres, man.
Tell me why.
Oh, I just feel like, and the Orioles, like those were the teams I wanted to see go all the way because I hate the Dodgers and I hate the Yankees. It's not like Yankees fans or Dodgers fans can, you know, cry, oh, we've never been, you know, they go to the series, they've been there, like they have victories. Dodgers, not so much. They have that one fake one. But
two fake ones.
Yeah. But then you've got teams like Padres who... I mean, I'd have to look it up. I don't even know the last time that they were in the series.
Oh, geez.
And you've got teams like the Orioles that, you know, these are teams that it's not easy for them to be good every year. They have to break down and build up, and the fans that are with them are way truer fans. You know, you got to root for the underdog, right? You want to see teams like the Mariners be good because their fans, they're fed up. You want to see that. I don't know. I mean, why do we give the best draft picks to the worst teams, right? Because we want a level playing field.
Theoretical parity, yeah.
Here's the thing, like individualism, like rugged individual freedom, you know, I can do whatever I want. That's an American thing. Japanese are like, let's get in line and all do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not a joke.
Yeah.
Like riding a subway in Tokyo, it's like everyone is perfectly where they should be. The trains are running on time. Riding the subway in San Francisco, I mean, I saw a naked guy pissing on the tracks who got hit in the... by a train one time, and I don't think you'd ever see that in Japan. Okay.
Oh my god, I felt like going from the States and then being dropped into a Tokyo subway basically off the plane. In a snap of the fingers, I was surrounded by a swarm of business suits.
Oh yeah, yeah, they all wear the same
briefcases
thing.
Head down, moving quickly, knowing where they're going. And four bewildered Americans looking around going, do you know what we do next? I went to Japan for 2 weeks in 2007, riding the coattails of a friend's plans, booked last minute. So I just got to do what they were doing. And we were all a little surprised how little English the common person spoke.
I guarantee definitely... you they were pretending they couldn't understand you.
That could be. But also that we could tell that their use of the English language as a culture wasn't quite as sharp as could be, we'll say. Because there's a donut shop called And on End. And we went with that for a while and we thought, God, it's just, that is the stupidest name. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. And then one of us goes, dude, they're trying to say on and on.
I mean, I gotta tell you, we were there. I ran into maybe one or two cashiers who didn't speak good English.
So why do you think they were pretending to us if you had such a different experience, you know, 15-ish years later?
It's probably your energy, bro. Probably your energy.
Like four American guys is just too much.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you guys are trouble. Whereas like, you know, I've read a lot about Japanese culture, and I know that you gotta be, you don't want to, how do I put this politely? You need to be respectful in your dress, in your countenance, mm-hmm. in your tone of voice,
all of it.
You need to be mindful of the people around you, and I think four dudes walking around being loud, like that's their worst nightmare. You guys mm-hmm. are like thugs to them. Like,
yeah,
unpredictable.
Yeah, because I remember them being very nice and friendly and courteous, but almost giggling. And
yeah,
so I'm wondering if they were acting like they were trying to find the words when that was just the most polite way of saying fuck off, basically.
Well, I mean,
wish I could help.
Flip it around. Imagine if you had, like, let's say some Italian guys, and they're just walking down the street. Look at
In Speedos.
Yeah, like I might not want to talk to those guys, you know. Like, whereas you've got like this like cute Japanese girl who's like, oh my god, excuse me, which way? You know, like I'm gonna respond to that a lot more, I think. But
yeah, Yeah, yeah. It's so cool that Japan is one of the links to the worldwide sport. And yeah. they've been on board for a long time, but Europe has basically completely ignored baseball forever.
They got cricket.
And when these guys are talking about worldwide global expansion, I didn't get it at all. And I love hearing that report of 31% in not a city, but a continent, the yeah. largest one.
Right.
And you go, and that's why they're better businessmen than I am. However, you play the long game, they're not going to be playing the best version of the sport. They will always have to be chasing. And let me add that Rob had a little carrot dangled in front of him. And he said he expects within the next 4 years, there will be an automated strike zone. And hot off the presses, spring training, Major League Baseball next year, they will be trying out the challenge system. This is according to Rob this morning.
That's just the tip of the ABS, right? Okay, like, yeah.
For sure.
That is ABS.
But then he gave the 4 year.
He's got a 4 year plan.
Basically, within 4 years, there will be all ABS,
yeah.
not just challenge if you don't like it, but it's right. going there.
Yeah, and I'm on record predicting it will be either next year or the year after that, so we'll see.
Yeah, I guess it just all keeps depending on the perceived success. And, you know, because there's a factor like this where, you know, Brody Brazil has been humping these topics pretty hard, but I think he said maybe 6 or 7 teams have now lost their local, you know,
their regional sports network.
If that number keeps increasing, hard to know where that goes, but somehow that plays into the sports popularity. However, I do think all the franchises are worth more money this year. And
oh, yeah.
I think my theory stayed true, which is it's such a rare commodity and so many billionaires were minted that someone's going to want to own a baseball team.
Yeah. Okay. The Minnesota Twins are currently for sale. The last team to sell was the Orioles for $1.7 billion.
That was this year, right?
Yeah, it was last year.
$1.7 last year. Okay.
Yeah. So I am absolutely thrilled that we have billionaires competing with each other to buy games yeah. instead of people who love the sport.
Yeah, not necessarily fans. They get to tell Rob how good he's doing this year. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably always been that way, but seems like it's gotten worse.
Right. I mean, I guess if you hear, you know, the Wrigley Company owns a baseball team and you go, how big of fans, baseball fans were they? So I guess we'll never know that. How many days were you in Japan?
10.
So baseball might not have been the main thing on your mind, but were you gathering much of a vibe outside of, say, seeing Shohei or...
Yeah, I wanted to go to a game, but the season was kind of over. They were doing like rain delay okay. pickups.
Right.
And so right. it just didn't really work out. Postseason started like on the second half of my trip. Tickets were just, you know, crazy expensive. And, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to take a ticket away from like somebody who is a real fan. So
right, right.
it's like sold out games.
That's very nice of you. But you caught the vibe of it being a country that appreciates baseball.
Japanese fans are way better fans than American fans. They have smaller parks. They don't do the same attendance, but they will root for a losing team. They will go see a losing team. You know, contrast that with the Chicago White Sox and the A's. They're just way more respectful. Contrast that with Phillies fans who tell you you should trade this guy who just was bad in an yeah. all-star who was bad in one playoff game. I think we could learn something from them in that regard. When it comes to them being fans of MLB, I really only see them kind of following the big Japanese players.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got. I mean, because they got their own teams, dude. They got their own league.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you know about Nippon Professional Baseball?
Zero.
So, yeah, Japan.
Why don't you quickly tell us about the fish?
The fish that gives milk? Yeah, I ate a lot of fish. It was good. What can you say? I mean,
the smaller version.
There's a reason why most chefs around the world, if you ask them if they could only eat one cuisine for the rest of their life, they'll tell you Japanese food.
Mm-hmm. Any personal favorites?
Well, one time when I was a kid, I was dating a girl who wanted to try uni. And we're at just some like sushi restaurant in Santa Cruz that has since closed down. And it was expensive.
Thank Godzilla.
It was expensive. And, you know, she was my date, so I got to pay for this. And I remember being kind of pissed that she ordered it because it's like, you just ordered the most expensive thing on here. And I'm like, have you ever had it before? And she's like, oh, yeah, maybe once.
Good girl.
Maybe twice. I'm like,
Uni's gnarly, too.
I'm like, is it good? And she's like, I don't know. And so fucking thing comes. It was the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. It was so bad. It tasted like a dumpster on a hot day. That smell, that's how it tasted. And so for my whole life, I've been like, I will not touch fucking urchin. Like, no, like, I'm not even going to. I don't even want to smell it. Like, get that shit away from me. And here we are in Japan at this like omakase restaurant. It's just me and my current girlfriend, who's way cooler than that other one. And we're sitting there and they're going to do uni. And it's like, okay, well, shit, I can't say no to this. This is like this husband and wife who are like serving these things on these little tiny plates. And it's just this whole thing. And I'm like, I'm going to have to eat this. I'm going to have to eat this uni. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. And it finally comes to me. And I got my chopsticks. And I put it in my mouth. And it was delightful. So another thing about Japan is that I know quite a few Japanese phrases. And my girlfriend doesn't. And I was told by a lot of experts, like, don't really try to use your Japanese there, even though you can say certain things, like, don't go beyond, like, thank you and excuse me and stuff. There were a couple of times where I got to use it. For example, I was in a 7-Eleven with my girl, and just quick side note, the 7-Elevens in Japan are completely different than the 7-Elevens here in the States. They're actually really nice. The food options are really good, like shockingly good. Anyway, we're at a 7-Eleven buying these famous egg sandwiches and I'm getting like beer. I give the guy like a 10,000 yen note. And then she's like, oh, trying to use the change because we're trying to use up. And it's like something 25 and she puts 45 down. And I just like sort of sigh and I go, baka, which means idiot. And the girl working at the 7-Eleven, you know, behind her face mask and her glasses, just starts laughing uncontrollably. And I told her later, like, what I had said, and she got mad.
Ah, I'm sorry. You're like, that was a great moment.
I'm like, no, no, it's like an affectionate.
Yeah.
I'm affectionately right. referring to you as idiot. She's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Did you come across style-free beer?
Style-free? A beer with no style?
It was written on the label, and what we thought it was alcohol-free?
Hmm. No, I did not notice that. I drank the brands that I was familiar with. Oh, I had some amazing craft beer in Nara. Oh my God. I had one of the best like saisons I've ever had there. I don't know, maybe it was the water or something. I just think that the attention to detail, the whole like training under a master for 10 years, like attitude that they have is just very different. I think it leads to much better quality in products.
Yes.
Like Japanese people won't, if a place is serving shitty uni, like, there'll be a riot. Like this, you've brought shame on your ancestors for serving that shit uni. You know what I mean? It's just a different place. But we have better baseball players, I guess, because we pay them more.
But they got the top dog. Shohei's in a league all by himself.
He's a Dodger. Earlier you were saying, like, what if a World Series game coming down to the wire, there's a clock violation. Like,
right.
People are going to be pissed. But it's only a matter of time before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people said the players will get used to the pitch clock, and they did. Last year, we did a whole breakdown on the violations per month and how it was going down dramatically. But in terms of getting more tech in the game, the problem with the tech that we have now is it's too slow.
Yep.
That's the problem.
You said the same thing, yep.
We want to know if it's a ball or a strike right after it comes in and you hear the ball hit the catcher's glove. You want to know if it's a ball or a strike right then. We want fast games. We need this tech to be faster. And this thing where you tap your helmet three times and then everyone looks up at the Jumbotron and we wait a second while we watch the ball miss or hit the strike zone. That's,
yeah.
They think that they're creating drama with that. But I mean, I just feel like we're all just watching TV. And once again, the umpires had the best year ever in terms of
according to the box,
getting it right according to the various metrics we have. So I'm conflicted on this. Check this out. You're going to love this. In Wimbledon this year, as you may have heard, they are eliminating the line judges.
No. Oh.
Yeah. So they're going total computers. It doesn't matter. The computer was always there. They would always appeal to the computer if it was close. So the line judges were just there.
It's a fellow steeped in tradition type of...
tradition. However, I heard a lot of people making the argument that by eliminating the line judges, they're taking the drama out. Because there used to be this thing where it's like, oh, is it in? Is it out? Let's go to the thing. Oh, it's out. Now it's just like beep or burp. Like it's just going to be automatic and fast. So
yeah,
you got to be careful making these changes. I mean, the older I get, sometimes I think like there should be things that don't change. And that helps connect us to our past, right?
Like, couldn't agree more with that.
Painting the Golden Gate Bridge pink, like unthinkable, okay? You've made that point before. Changing the San Francisco Giants logo, like over my dead fucking body, okay? Taking umpires out of the game.
Big fucking deal.
I don't know, man.
I was thinking today while I was at work, and I thought, let's just say the changes that have happened since they brought in the automatic intentional walk, not having to pitch it. I said the game is about 90%. Let's just say the game's 90% of what I consider real baseball. Taking the umpires out of the game, I gave 5 percentage points. That would change the game down to an 85 of what I think real baseball is. And that's taking a pillar out of the game that's no longer there. And these people who are making this decision, I think they believe they know what the reaction is going to be for the most part, but I think it's too big to know that. And I don't think you put the toothpaste back in the tube. I don't think you can foresee all the little wrinkles that may change. And as Rob is patting himself on the back, one of the things that really frustrates me is he'll use data that seems to prove things, but then do you really think that having a little leaguer not bat as a pitcher is good for the sport of baseball? Every kid anywhere close to our age batted every time they pitched. Every time. Growing up.
And it's completely the opposite.
It is completely the opposite. Did you watch the interview that
I sent it to you?
Okay.
Yeah. We should talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. The way I saw it was, I believe it was LSU pitcher had to bat in a game, and he was interviewed, and he basically had said on camera, I actually had to lie to my coach to tell him.
Wait, hold on. You're burying the lead. He had the game-winning hit.
Well, I never got to see the highlight, so I didn't know.
He had a walk-off.
He gets interviewed after the game, and he basically admits that he told his coach that he used to bat in high school.
Yeah, he had to lie to his coach. And he also, in the interview, was like, yeah, I haven't hit a ball for... He's like, I'm a pitcher.
Yeah, I hit bombs, but I never got to actually bat in high school.
Right.
Which I thought was really, really fascinating, if that's true at all, that he hits bombs in high school and still not be able to bat.
Too valuable as a pitcher, yeah.
And that word actually came out, that his coach in high school was protecting him.
Yeah.
Protecting his ball player from being a ball player.
It's happening.
It's happened. The ship sailed. But Rob never has to answer that question.
Yeah.
Well, not only does he not have to answer it, he would have the answer, which is, well, if it's not working, we can just change a rule or add a rule.
Yeah, even in high school, they were protecting
him. Well, what satisfied me so much about it was the visceral attitude he had, the glee in being a ball player and actually getting to bat. Like, it's this big rarity.
Yeah. And the crowd went insane, obviously. I mean, oh, can we talk about Luis Arraez?
Talk about who?
Luis Arraez.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, guess what? He just got the highest batting average in the league for the third straight year. Nobody knows who he is. No teams want to sign him.
What kind of numbers are we talking?
This year, he hit .314.
Okay.
So in 2023, he hit... .354.
Woo!
Yeah.
Damn.
With
scorching.
With almost 600 at bats. So, I mean.
Oh, real deal shit.
And the Marlins traded him. He hit .316 with the Twins in 2022.
Just keep switching teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's not even considered to be that good. I'm not kidding. Like, he can barely get signed for 1 year deals, and he's the batting king. Yeah. Because his launch angle sucks.
Oh,
I'm not
fella.
Kidding. Like, this is real.
He's getting skipped.
The guy with the highest batting average in the league is not a very valuable player.
Yeah. Like, Rod Carew would be worth nothing.
So some people will tell you, well, you old guys were calculating skills wrong because we only care about total bases now.
Yeah.
And he's just hitting a lot of singles.
Yeah, I know. It seems like such a simple equation. But once the game kind of shifted in one direction and people stopped going both ways and defensive rules were changed, it gets apples and oranges-ish. Especially if you're going to say batting average, we've proven it's not that important. It's the lack of the well-rounded, you know, no bunting, no moving runners over, no hit and runs, things like that. If all the statistics say home run teams is what gets us playoff victories or what gets us into playoffs, you know, that's what's going to take us there. And the league kind of shifts in unison towards that.
Yeah, total bases, man. That's where it's at. That's what you want to draft for if you've got a fantasy league. You know, I've watched some guys online who talk about baseball, like a little bit younger crowd than us. And they were like, hey, we're going to watch an inning from every World Series going back to, like, I don't know, the 80s.
Okay.
Or maybe even longer. And then the guy's like, oh, well, what was some standout things for you? And it's like, oh, the bunting. It seemed like every team had a guy batting second who could, like, get the guy over. And then they were just so surprised by this. And I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it was. And then the other thing they mentioned was, oh, two guys up in the bullpen, a righty and a lefty.
Nice.
Every time, double barrel.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's what we did because.
I like that talk.
Because they would do a switch and then you'd switch it back, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one other thing that was on my list was got to wait till Friday to start the series.
Oh, yeah.
And
and you get the best ratings possible.
Right. Best ratings possible. And how that is just the furthest thing from negotiable would be what date we start. Like, it's so set in stone. And push it more into November, deeper into November. But Rob said they had found the sweet spot for playoffs, the playoff system. Those were his words, were sweet spot.
Oh, they'll expand again in a couple of years.
Yep.
I'm 100% certain of that.
I would agree with that.
There's no way they're not going to. Yeah. They'll keep expanding it just as quickly as they know they can't go too far too fast or there'll be a backlash, Mona Lisa Baseball. But here's another point I'd like to make. I don't know if I've made this point with you, that when we talk about TV ratings and attendance and all that, what people are looking for, what advertisers are looking for, people who want to sell you the toothpaste that we can't put back in the tube. They want to capture a younger audience, the 15 to 35 audience, because those people are still making up their mind about which toothpaste is best for them. Mm. Whereas a lot of old people, they're like, I drink Uban coffee. Like, I've been drinking that my whole life, and that's all we're going to do because it's the good one. Mm-hmm. They're not changing their preferences. They're not switching toothpaste brands.
Oh, never thought of this. This is great.
So that younger audience is so much more valuable to them than we are. And so if we think a rule change sucks, but kids are like, yo, that's lit, yo.
Oh, please put that
sorry.
In.
Sorry. I'm so sorry about
that. That needs to be there.
Then they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Because one kid versus like you, me, and A3, the kid's going to win. They're going to go with what he thinks is best.
Right.
And if he likes tapping the hat three times on the head, then they're gonna do it. And that's what's happening next year.
Spring training.
ABS.
So any chance, I guess it would have to be a full-blown disaster for it to not be implemented once the regular season starts.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been doing this in so many other leagues for so long now. I mean,
they know it's close enough. It's not going to cause an outrage.
They tested it. Like, they did the beta test. It's ready for production.
People are going for it.
Yeah.
So should I commit to this where every time I go to a baseball game, and they start a tap system, I can start booing?
You have a very powerful boo.
My wife wanted to know how you felt as I was booing the replay at the A's game.
I don't remember.
Oh, there you go.
Any egregious booing or annoying booing.
Okay.
I think I'm usually the most annoying guy in our group. Because I'll yell at the pitchers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And say stupid ass shit.
You could hear a couple people in the section kind of chuckling moderately. The curdle is the best. There's a couple points where it's like, where you're getting the last bits out of it. And then A4 says, do you base your booing on the lady from Princess Bride? And I realized she is my inspiration for the best boo, the best boo I can give, which
bow down to the king of filth.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And I might have got that in on another episode, but I just wanted to reiterate, she's my inspiration where she's looking at her in the face and it's like, wait, why are you booing me on my wedding day? And she's basically saying, you're the worst type of human. You gave up on love. Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. Boo. And here's the other thing that's so ridiculous. The guy slides in safe. The ump calls him safe. You delay the game for 4 minutes. I boo for a while, almost lose my voice, and then they resume the game. They're like, yep, he was safe.
Yeah, that was so lame.
It's just fucked. It's just fucked.
Yeah, and it takes too long.
What's even more screwed about it, and this is a point that I wanted to make, and this is always coming in and out of my head, but this is the price we pay for trying to expand the game and bringing in more fans that know less. Baseball towns used to know when it's appropriate to boo. If a pitcher from the other team throws over to first 4 times in a row,
you boo.
By the third, four, you're booing. But people don't know that anymore. So they don't use their voice at a game to get the players in check. If there's a guy rubbing dirt on his hands, he won't stand in the box. You start booing. Get in the box.
Yeah.
Play
yeah.
some baseball. And unfortunately, we went to clocks because of that. We let it happen. We let it happen. Every time you bring up a point of we're back to 87 levels, it makes me sick. It's like we had it handled.
Yeah.
And then we just lost our way and we let it happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about why did the games get longer? You've asked me that question. And my answer was usually the prisoner's dilemma that if I'm a pitcher, if I'm a batter and I can take more time and I feel like that's going to help me, I'm going to take it. And that's what we had going on.
And the crowd won't boo you.
But it's like, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, if half the guys out there are doing it.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. But I feel like we let it happen. All of us as baseball fans let it happen.
Yeah.
Right in front of us.
It's true.
Oh, we got to give a shout to Fernando. RIP.
Yeah. And Pete Rose both died since we last recorded.
Right. Fernando, I saw... It's such a sick stat.
Oh, man. He was a beast.
I don't know how you can start a career better than opening day shutout first MLB start.
Two Giants fans talking about how great a LA pitcher is, by the way.
So yes.
That tells you how awesome he is.
9-inning shutout.
Debut.
When will the next time that happen?
Never.
I'd like to know.
Yeah.
I would like to know. And then got washed up and then still threw a no-hitter later.
Yeah, well, I mean, ask
good for him.
Paul Skeens how that works. He didn't just have a shutout going. He had a no-hitter. It wasn't his first game, but it was like his...
Early. It was early, yeah.
It was early in the season, yeah.
Right. Did you follow his season at all through the year, like statistically?
So I think the question is, did Paul Skeens like... Because everyone's like, oh, he's a lock for Rookie of the Year,
oh, right.
Cy Young. And it's like, well, hold on.
Yeah,
it's,
shut down MGM.
We haven't even got to the All-Star game here. Like, yeah. This guy could get hurt.
Yeah. And still, I think MGM didn't care.
I'll give you his stat line for the year.
Give me his line.
23 games pitched, okay. 29 earned runs, 11 wins, 3 losses. And his whip is 0.95 with an ERA of 1.96.
1.96. Oh, goodness.
I mean, he had a great year.
That's awesome.
He's going to win all the awards.
He's going to get it. Oh, I want to do a first time for the show. I want to challenge you to a bet.
Okay.
Interested?
Yeah, what are we betting? Like a sushi dinner?
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
To buy me some uni.
God, what does my friend say? It tastes like a tide pool. Tastes just like Tide Pool.
Tide Pool.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Okay. So salty. Perhaps.
It's quite salty. Quite salty. Yeah. Okay. But here's my thought on the bet. I declared something and you called bullshit on me.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want to do the thing. I want to do...
Predictions.
Yes. But just one. Shohei starts. 10 over under.
Oh, he's going to start, dude.
This is what you keep telling me, but I keep telling you.
Yeah, oh no, I'm 100% certain of
and
this.
And I'm telling you, he's got 10 or less starts left in his MLB career, so I'm taking less. So if he gets over 10, like if he gets 11 or more starts next year, you win. If he gets 9 or less, I win. 10, it's a wash.
Are we gambling now?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The first time.
I will take that bet.
We're 4 years in.
Yeah, I would have taken 20. He's going to start again. The Dodgers definitely want him
okay,
to.
So the numbers are clear.
Baseball wants him to.
Sushi dinner.
Yeah.
Including sake.
And I won't hustle you into an expensive
into place. Something egregious.
When I win this
that
bet.
That sounds really fun. Well, if you got more, we can keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about Blake Snell not pitching his last start.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't feel like it.
No, that was great. Let's talk about that.
I guess the situation was that the Giants were out of it, and so were the opposing team, the Cardinals. And so Blake's like, I'm not going to pitch today. And they're like, okay, Blake. So
is he under contract?
Probably won't be a Giant. You know, that's not a great way to ingratiate yourself with the fans.
Nah.
Especially people who bought tickets to go to that game.
To watch Blake Snell. I know people that would buy tickets to watch him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there were people wearing the Snell jersey to that game.
Yep.
Who were disappointed.
Yep.
But it just shows you like
where things are at.
How dumb do you feel by having bought that jersey? And it's like, we got a Cy Young pitcher who hates it here.
I went back and listened to the Wrigley Field and an episode after that, and I got reminded of a topic, which was I think it was Arenado was getting paid $29 million a year.
Yeah, he can't even
and,
run.
And didn't run out his ground ball.
Yeah.
And A4 was so irate about that.
Because he was out and, by a half a step.
Yeah, it was bang, bang.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was 75%. And I think that's what we stated. 80% would have made him safe, but he could only give 75.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just kind of accepted. And this is sort of the idea that, you know, I go to work. I don't have to dress nice, but I have to be professional in my profession.
And you have to put on shoes. No slippers.
Slippers are out. I got reprimanded this last year for showing up to the job site in flip-flops, and I was I showed up early so that I could put on the shoes.
Right.
And the second I got there, my boss was like, get over here, I need da-da-da-da-da, and I was wearing my flip-flops. And he looks at me and he's like, no.
Right.
You cannot show up to the job. I don't care what time it is. I don't care how early you show up. You can't show up to the job site with flip-flops on. And he was right. I mean, it was kind of a little unfair, but he exposed a weakness that shouldn't have been there. It is my job to be professional and show up with my work shoes on. The second I show up, I need to be ready to go. So that's a form of professionalism. Guess what? I don't make 20 to 30 to 40 million a year. You wouldn't want to forget that being professional is an important thing, even though you're told how great you are so often that you actually forget the great honor it is to get paid, oh, you know, a million a start, or if you're Arenado, you know, whatever, you do the math, but it's kind of accepted. There was another one earlier in the playoffs where a guy hit a comebacker to home plate and he was running about 60%. And then the pitcher kind of threw a lob, almost threw it over the first baseman's head, who took two steps off, jumped, caught the ball, and then ran back to first base and got him in a bang bang play. That was in the playoffs. And the thought of it's a playoff game, you got to win. It was a very close game, and they needed this guy to get on base. To run 60% on a grounder in a playoff game as a millionaire, tough for me to wrap my head around.
If you're making $30 million a year and you play in 150 games, it's like $200,000 a game.
You'd want them being professional.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. We're a little numb to it in the sports world, but it is an obscene amount of money.
Think about that, though. I mean, that's why Blake Snell's like not going to pitch when...
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's, oh, might hurt my arm a little bit.
Rather not get hurt. Yeah. Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The
fuck the fans.
The fan.
Fuck the team.
Fan getting slapped.
Fuck it. I'm out.
It's a bummer.
You're not signing me next year anyway. I don't know. Maybe he's got beef with somebody in the office. I mean,
yeah, sure.
We don't know. But I can tell you, man, like,
didn't make you feel good as a Giants fan.
I worked in the entertainment industry in video games for a while, and there were so many times where I was at odds with management because I cared about what the fans wanted and not what they wanted. And there were so many times where I made executives angry by telling them, dude, if you make this change, we might make more money, but it's not going to be good in the long run. You're going to lose your audience. And a lot of the confidence that I've brought to the podcast is due to the fact that I was right in all those situations. Sometimes more right than others. And I sort of predicted that happening to baseball, but attendance is up 1%. TV viewership is up 5%, 31% in Asia. They are definitely patting themselves on the back. They got the Yankees-Dodgers series that they want so bad. Hopefully it happens every year for them.
That is so far from being a reality in a tournament system.
The difference between a video game and Major League Baseball is that, and the reason I was right with these games, and I'm maybe wrong with baseball, was that there's always a new video game and there's just one MLB.
Mm-hmm.
So if you destroy an existing game by over monetizing it,
yep,
you'll kill the game because people can just go play a different game. But there's only one MLB.
It's really going to come down to the sample size, and take 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years from now, where does baseball stand? And that's really the only way we're going to find out, because of this short one or two seasons. See, that's proof. Doesn't really work for a sport that's so old and been going for a while, I think.
Yeah.
The bleed out's going to happen. If you go take the umpires out, the game gets 5% worse. If new rules come in and you keep losing a percentage point here or there, it starts getting to the point where it's, well, do you guys want to watch this or this? And you're like, eh, go with the other thing.
In order for MLB to grow the way that they want, they need somebody to break the home run record like every year. And that's ridiculous. And they're going to want to do that. And it's going to get out of control to the point where they will start bringing in the fences. They, you know what I mean? Like, or maybe they won't, but someone in a boardroom, someone's going to be like, well, can we just bring in the fences so we get more home runs? So we break the record and we get more viewership this year. They will sell it out. I've been in these meetings where I've seen video games just completely sold out.
They will sell it out.
And that's the mentality of a lot of people in, you know, who find themselves in decision-making positions.
Right. Well, here's a wonderful way to do it. Instead of bringing the fences in, do these things that we've talked about, which is controlling the batting order.
Well, they keep fucking with the ball too, man. That's a real thing.
Sure. But like, Shohei should be able to bat every inning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not?
And then gets brought in. Oh, he hit 90 homers this year.
That's what football and basketball sports talkers say. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, they say that's the problem.
Oh, we can put LeBron in, you know, at the end of a game. Why can't we have Shohei bat, you know, in the bottom of the ninth?
That's the problem with baseball. And then they'll use it as proof.
Idiots.
Not as popular as NFL.
Baka.
What's up?
Historic.
It's happened, the ship sailed.
White and black goes with anything. Sports talk guys are allowed to talk about baseball.
Automatic eye roll from me. See how healthy baseball is?